Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on the Word of God today is our lesson from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We say those words pretty much every Sunday, or words that are very similar to them. We say to the Lord, we say to one another, in the hearing of one another, we say, I believe. That puts me in mind of a book that I read about a fellow who was a missionary in the country of China in the 1800s, and he made this comment. He said, when you preach the gospel, the common people, the poor people, they believe everything, which sounds good, until he went on to say, they believe everything. They believe in Christianity, and they believe in Buddhism, and they believe in the worship or veneration of ancestors, and they all pack it together into one big snowball, all those beliefs together. But then he said, if you go to the wealthy people, if you go to the powerful people, while the poor people believe everything, the wealthy and powerful people believe nothing. They're skeptics. They won't buy into anything. Now that, of course, is an oversimplification, painting maybe with too broad a brush. Many people, through the work of missionaries, did come to genuine saving faith in Christ in that time period. And my wife's grandfather was one of those genuine believers in Christ in the country of China. And so God promised in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, my word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose it, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. But you do have those wealthy and powerful folks who didn't believe in anything. And they weren't just in China. They were people back in Jesus' day in the land where he lived as well, too. They were a group of people mentioned in our lesson for today, Acts chapter 4. They were called the Sadducees. They were a branch of the Jewish faith. And truthfully, we know very little about them because they left no written records. But we do learn about them from other people who talked about them. And we learn about them also from the Bible. And from those sources, we form the picture that they were wealthy people. They were cultured people. They were powerful people. They were connected people. But we also really only know not so much what they believed, but what they didn't believe. We know from outside sources that they didn't believe in angels or spirits of any other kind. They didn't believe that there was another life beyond this one. They didn't believe, of course, then in the resurrection of the dead, like we confess. I confess the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And if you understand all of that put together, then you can begin to understand Acts chapter 4. And I'll read it for you. Now, as Peter and John were speaking to the people in the temple, about Jesus, of course, the priests and the soldiers of the temple police, and the Sadducees came up, and they were greatly annoyed on account of Peter and John teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and took them into custody. You're teaching what we don't believe. We don't believe in it, not a lick of it. And you're teaching about Jesus and the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Well, all of this raises an interesting question. If you think about all the things that the Sadducees didn't believe in, you could ask the question, why would you believe? Or maybe why would you have to believe if you already have? Why would you have to believe if you already have? If you already have, like the Sadducees did, everything that the human heart craves. You already have wealth. You already have culture. You already have power. You already have influence. You already have recognition. Why would you have to believe if you already have everything? But today's lesson raises the question, do you have everything? If you have that list, do you have everything? And what God's word does and the preaching of Peter and John does is plant a seed of doubt in the hearts of the Sadducees. Peter says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, that this man who's here with us stands before you healed. In other words, there was a miracle that was done. Very simply put, simple message. You crucified him, Jesus, but the Father raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. Now, it is customary for us, common for us to talk about the Lord planting a seed of faith in a person's heart. We pray for such things. We hope for such things. We have relatives and friends that we pray for, and that's what we pray. Lord, plant the seed of faith in them, and let that faith grow to be something that's mature all the way to everlasting life. Plant the seed of faith. But what if the Lord, before he plants a seed of faith, has to plant the seed of doubt? The seed of doubt and say, all right, so you have wealth, you have culture, you have power, you have influence, you have recognition. Are you sure you got everything? Did you check off all the boxes? Do you have everything that you need? Is it just possible that there is more to life than just the present? Is it possible that there is a day of reckoning when Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead? Is it possible that there is a place of glory? Is it possible that there is a place of torment? Is it possible that there will really be no accounting for the deeds done while in the body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5? There will be no accounting, no reckoning for all the things done by Hitler, all the things done by Stalin, all the things done by you and me? The good Lord sometimes has to plant the seed of doubt. I remember reading from a Christian author, a man by the name of C.S. Lewis, and he said something to the effect of this. He said, when he was a Christian person, or as a Christian person, he said, sometimes I had a fear that there wasn't a God. But that fear was nothing compared to the fear of when I was an unbeliever, that there might possibly be a God, and that he might possibly come to judge the living and the dead. Okay, so you have wealth, you have culture, you have power, you have influence, you have recognition. Do you have everything? Or to make it worse, do you really even have those things? Do you have them? Or is life a little bit more like going to rent a center? And what do? God gives you all of these different gifts, but sooner or later the day is coming when what happens? You got to give them all back. And when you give them all back, if you don't have them, if you can't keep them, do you really have them? Are they really yours? Wealth, culture, power, influence, recognition. Because if you have all these things, there's a danger. And the danger is that a fear comes upon your heart. And what is the fear? Someday they might all what? Be taken away. Be gone. It's like when you buy that new car. And you go shopping over at Safeway, over at Costco. That's nice and crowded. Where do you park your new car? Far away from everybody else. And you're going to go into the store, and what do? My beautiful new car. Until what happens? There's a loose shopping cart that's rolling along, and what does it do? It bangs into your car. And at that point, you get a dose of reality, and you say, you know what? Nothing really lasts. This isn't going to last. And you know what I need? I need something that isn't going to get dinged. That's what I have to have. And like the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, what did he say? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. I mean, you need things, but don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And you know how the words go. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. St. Paul said much the same in 2 Timothy 4. He said, the time of my departure has come. I'm returning everything to Rent-A-Center. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And of course, we love his appearing. Why? Acts chapter 4, today's lesson. There's salvation in nobody else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Up to that point, you can play with ideas. And you can play with religious beliefs, and you can delve into this belief system or that belief system, and you can read learned and educated books and have learned and educated conversations that satisfy your mind. But sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with the problem of sin. And when you have to deal with the problem of sin and you look for answers to it, you're going to hear the same answer everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, every person, every belief system is going to say the same thing. Sin, what are you going to do with it? Fix it. Fix it. Deal with it. It's your problem. Everywhere you turn will say it to you, except one place, where the still, small voice of the Lord speaks from the cross and says, "It is finished. I made sin my problem. I died for it. I atoned for it. I died and atoned for you, and you can stand clean before me and have a place together with me, because the past is gone, the present is forgiven, the future is washed clean. There's salvation in nobody else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus was raised. You too will be raised. And henceforth, there is laid up for you the crown of righteousness." Doesn't get dinged. "The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day, and not only to you, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And it's because we love his appearing, what do we say? In church on Sunday, we say, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in the life everlasting." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.